I'll be frank with you, folks. No, I think I'll just be Martin. Seriously, though. I never saw myself really getting into this and discussing these people with names like David and Glenn. Well, David, yes, he's a Bible character. And Glenn. Are there any characters in the Bible named Glenn? No? How about Ted? No? Okay. Donald? Don. Don, Ted. No. No, I don't recognize any of those names. In my mind, I was always going to stick to the scriptures. That was my thing. That is my thing, as you know. And so this is a surprise to me that I'm talking about these people. Kind of a surprise. Didn't expect to go here. So the fact that I am going here is interesting, even to me. I am interested in these things that I find myself interested in. And so I'm not saying by that that it means that by some mystical, magical way that I'm right about any of this. And I'm not going to insist that I'm right. But I think that I've been listening, and I think that I have put some things together from scripture, from being in the world, but not of it. And I don't think that what I can say can be or should be dismissed out of hand. That's not the same as saying that I'm right. But I think that the people I'm mentioning to you and the situations I'm painting for you are plausible. The situations are plausible, and the people are likely players in the end time happening. So I think David Burton, this is a name that was new to me last year. I think David Burton, now that I've read more about him, is a major player in bringing about the wild beast, in bringing about a one-world government that miraculously ties religion in with politics and blurs, if not obliterates, the separation of church and state. Which in this wicked era is a good thing to have, separation of church and state. When Christ comes, church and state will no longer be separate, because for the first time in human history, we will have a smart leader, a righteous, holy leader, Jesus Christ, and no one else will be able to meld religion and politics into one. The closest thing we had on this earth is the Jews, God's holy people. In them, we saw a microcosm of how it will be on the entire earth during the millennium. They had kings and they had priests. Kings, politics, priests, religion. It's true that the king wasn't the priest and the priest wasn't the king. They still had separate offices, but both offices operated seamlessly under the umbrella of God's divine law. But of course, that law was administered via broken vessels. And so it could only be imperfect. It could only be a type. It could only be a shadow. But now, we're on the brink of seeing the high priest, along the order of Melchizedek, returning, and the King of Kings, the ultimate political ruler, who will do with the earth what Israel did within her own nation, from the calling of Abraham to the rending of that veil in the temple. Because I think that's when Israel was set aside. The death of Christ, the rending of the veil, that was it. It wasn't in Acts 28:28. Please! It wasn't when Israel was set aside. That was a trial. That was a legal seal upon the whole thing. But God had already done it before that. That was the legal seal to the Jews. That it was the final proof to them. The final proof to them in their own scriptures, recorded. Paul going to Rome, being tried, and it wasn't even the final nail in the coffin. That had already happened. The veil was rent. How much more done could God be with Israel? But now, when they, as a nation, stand before Christ, they have to be shown for their own eternal peace, and I do mean eternal, that no matter how many times they were implored, cajoled by Christ, by the apostles, by Paul, by governments, by all the powers that be, they were a stubborn and stiff-necked people. You can't convince them of that now because, their noses are up in the air. We're Jews. You're dogs. So it's going to take a big-time cruncheroo to make them see the truth. For Satan, it's going to take the lake fire. For Jews, it's going to take all these different testimonies. But the deed was done. When that temple veil was rent, their house was left to them desolate. It didn't even happen in 70 AD. That was just a fruit of what had already happened. They crucified their Messiah? I would, Your Honor, present this as Exhibit A in my case against Israel, that they crucified their own Messiah. And if you need an Exhibit B, it's not going to be from me, because I place Exhibit A on the desk and walk out of the courtroom. Oh, yeah, where was I? David Barton, let's talk about this guy. Thanks for indulging me here. David Barton, this is from Wikipedia. He's an author. Born January 28th in Aledo, Texas. Maybe it's Aledo. I'll call it Aledo because it sounds dumber. Aledo. Sorry, if anybody's from Aledo, Texas, I apologize. You may be even from Aledo, Texas. Interesting that Glenn Beck's headquarters is also in Texas. What's happening in Texas? All right. David Barton is an evangelical Christian political activist. All right. That should make you a little sick to your stomach already. He is the founder of Wall Builders, LLC, a Texas-based organization that promotes unorthodox views about the religious basis of the United States. He has been described as a Christian nationalist. And I'm telling you, most of Christianity has bought into this. They're nationalists. They're socialists in the vein that their main thrust is not tending to Christ, but they're not Marys, they're Marthas. They're busy in the kitchen. Even they're trying to feed the poor. Even Judas made the pretense of wanting to feed the poor. Surely the money that we could have gotten from this perfume poured out by this woman could have been used for the poor. Well, you stupid hypocrite, you know, you're not that concerned for the poor. You're just concerned in knocking somebody who is doing the better thing, that is, worshiping Christ. So there's Martha and Mary. Same deal. You all out there and me, we are Marys. We're worshiping at Christ's feet. But these Christians in the world are Marthas, who are now can be called Christian nationalists or political activists, Christian political activists. They want these people. They want the pastors in the pulpits to teach them about how to change the world. Let me make this point clear. Did Jesus ever say to change the world? No. He said, let your light shine upon the world. It's almost like we're a bunch of Peters just walking along and Peter's shadow falls on the lame man without his intention. And the lame man jumps up and celebrates his newfound ability to walk. That's us. We're just minding our own business. Let us be the light. Let the world look at us and say, something different about those people. And let them celebrate God that way, not by us then turning to them. Peter didn't turn to heal this guy. He did it later, that's true. But this particular example, the one I'm using here for my illustration, his shadow fell. It was an oblique work of God. It wasn't a direct, it was direct, but it was oblique in that the Spirit did it, using the man barely as a vessel. Back to David Barton. He has been described as a Christian nationalist and, quote, one of the foremost Christian revisionist historians, unquote. Going to tell you what that means in a second here. Much of his work is devoted to advancing the idea based on research that many historians and journalists describe as flawed, that the United States was founded as an explicitly Christian nation, and that the assertion that the United States Constitution calls for separation of church and state is a myth. That's what the man says. That's what Rafael Cruz believes, and I believe that's what his boy Ted Cruz believes secretly, that this idea people have that the United States Constitution calls for a separation of church and state is a myth. What the Constitution says, I'm paraphrasing here, is that the government shall not create a religion, shall not impose a religion on anyone. It allows you to worship, ideally, the God that you want to worship. If you want to worship Baal, okay. If you want to worship the fake Jesus, go ahead. If you want to worship the true God like you and I do, great. But the state is not to impose that. But I think that many of these people consider the state to be an evil entity, a godless entity. And if the state, what if the state becomes godly? What if the state adopts the only true religion? And in these people's mind, Christianity is the only true religion. But that's not true. We know that Judaism is the only true religion. But they think Christianity is a new and improved Judaism. It's a development of Judaism. It's the logical progression, outcome of Judaism. But it's not, because we keep Paul and Peter separate. Peter is Judaism. Paul is something completely different. And besides, even the Judaism that they are forwarding today is a false presentation. But I am afraid that what's going to happen is that these new political leaders are going to guard the separation of church and state as long as we keep the state separate from false churches. But everybody knows that the Christian church is the true church because it boasts the name of the only true man of God, Jesus Christ. Going back to Wikipedia here on David Barton. Barton is the former vice chair of the Republican Party of Texas and serves as director of Keep the Promise PAC, a political action committee, that's what PAC stands for, supporting Ted Cruz during his campaign for election as U.S. president in 2016. And we're seeing this now. So he is supporting Ted Cruz. And this man has been on Glenn Beck's show. I'm tempted to show you the video now. Oh my gosh, I'm 12 minutes into the show. I can't do it. We have the Holy Trinity here of Barton, Cruz, and Glenn Beck. Don't dismiss Glenn Beck. I keep telling you this. The guy has built a multimedia wonder, theblaze.com. It's a subscription based news service, a cable news service. Glenn Beck is smart. He's got a lot of money. He is a good man. Millions of people love him. The left mocks him. Glenn Beck cannot be the face of this thing because he's too Christian-y. He's too sweet. He's too saccharinated. So it can't be Glenn Beck. It's going to have to be the face of this thing. Is going to have to be somebody who's political and a bulldog. Ted Cruz is that man. He's a bulldog. He's a debater. He can take anybody down in a debate. But then again, we have the Trumpster, Donald Trump, and he is obviously business savvy. Obviously, this guy could rebuild Babylon in a short period. Oh my God. Holy Babylonian Empire Batman. What if Donald Trump is the one who rebuilds Babylon? If anybody could do it, Trump could do it. I can see one of the towers of Babel having the name Trump on it. Wow. That guy could rebuild Babylon in a short period of time, except he wouldn't call it Babylon. He'd call it Trumpsylvania or something like that. Trumpsburg. Wow. But it would still be Babylon because it would be on the location. But if people saw that it was a happy little Disneyland kind of a place, there could still be some intense financial networking going on, say, underground on the site of Babylon. It wouldn't have to be called Babylon. Just like the Antichrist is not going to be called the Antichrist. Right? Antichrist is not going to be called Antichrist. Here's the Antichrist. No, of course not. It's going to be called Cinderella or whatever, or Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. But what if Babylon's not called Babylon? It's called something else, something really slick, something really cool, like the World Center for Cultural Development, funded and built by the great wisdom and knowledge and financial acumen of Donald Trump. Ooh, I like that scenario. I like that scenario. That scenario. I would now hope that these guys assume their proper roles here, if it's indeed them. And again, am I Martin Zender telling you that this is how it is? No. But am I telling you that this is how it could be? Oh, yeah.